And God, I would pray that as your word goes out this morning, God, that you would speak to each one of us, that you would meet us where we're at, but you wouldn't leave us there. You'd take us to where you want us to go. So God, be with us now this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, there should be a picture before you. Anybody tell me what that is? Koala bear? Did I hear koala bear? It's not a panda. It's a koala bear. Well, actually, you know, in this life, there's a lot of things we've been told that are actually not true, and we buy into them. For example, that's not a bear. It's not a koala bear. That's a marsupial. So it should be called a koala marsupial, I suppose. Or how about this one? American buffalo. You know, we've even know that in the 1930s, was it, that the U.S. printed coined a nickel with the image of the American buffalo on the tail side of that coin. However, that's not a buffalo. It's a bison. It's two different things. It's a bison. Or this one, a palm tree. We look at that picture and say, well, that's a palm tree. Of course, no, that's not a palm tree. Palms aren't trees. They're actually grasses. I discovered this years ago. I was given oversight to a construction project, and we were building some buildings, and everything there had to be taken down, and including there was some palm trees, 30 foot tall, huge. And a local landscaper heard about it and came and asked me if he could take these trees out and replant them. And I was like, nobody replants 30 foot tall trees. And he goes, well, it's not a tree, it's a grass. And when they took it out, sure enough, the root ball, tiny little root ball, and looks like certain type of grass that grows in my backyard occasionally, but it's not a tree, it's a grass. And this one, we say it's a peanut, right? It's a nut. You find these in the supermarket on the shelf where all the other nuts are, but it's not a nut. It's a legume, which is more like a bean. And then this last one is one of my favorite eateries. You can find me there occasionally. That is a picture of the Subway footlong sandwich that happens to be 11 inches long. So, but I just, you know, I just put these up there to have us thinking about things that we hear, and we hear again and again and again, and that shapes our understanding. And a lot of times those things that we hear again and again and again are not true. And if that's happens to be true with palm trees and peanuts, it's true in the spiritual realm as well. Now, we're in our series called the New Life. This is the life that Jesus longs for each one of us. He came. He's our shepherd. He longs to be your shepherd. He longs to be your Lord. He longs to be your Savior. He promises us abundant life. And he had commanded his disciples, he had told his disciples that your job is to obey everything that I've taught you. And to those first apostles, he says, I want you to go out and now teach everything that I've taught you. And so when we look at his commands, we look at those with an understanding that Jesus has said those. He's asked us to obey these. He wants to give us full life. And there's a connection there that as we obey them, we build this on our relationship, a relationship of trust, and grow closer to him. But Jesus also gave us some cautions that his message is going to be opposed. His message will have those that come along and try to detract from it or change it or twist it or take a truth that he proclaims and turn it into a lie and take lies and turn them into truths. In perhaps his greatest sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, as he concluded that sermon in chapter 7, he said this. He says, there are some contrasts in life. There is a narrow gate and there's a wide gate. Go through the narrow gate. There is a narrow path and a wide path. Travel the narrow path. There is a wise builder who builds his house on the foundation of Christ, and there's a foolish builder who builds on another foundation of sand. There are true disciples and false disciples. There's true prophets and there's false prophets. Five contrasts to let us know that we have to be very discerning about which path we're going to be on, which teacher we're going to listen to, which prophet we're going to follow. And that's where we come to today's message. His command today is beware of false prophets. This comes out of Matthew 7, that Sermon on the Mount, verse 15. This is our memory verse for the week. And it actually bleeds into verse 16 as well here. But Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And so this is the command that Jesus gives us today. This is the warning he gives us today. This is the one that he is calling his sheep to practice, to put into play, to be discerning with, if we really want to tap into that full life that Jesus has for us. So as I teach on this, as we study this, there's a few things I want to draw out. First off, the idea of what a prophet is. A lot of times we think of a prophet as somebody who predicts the future or talks about the future, like a prophecies of something due to come, like somebody standing up and saying, hey, there's going to be an earthquake by, you know, the middle of the summer and it's going to affect California or whatever. That's not the definition here of what we're looking at in terms of prophets. What we're rather looking at, the definition is this, is a person who speaks for God and communicates God's message. That's what a prophet is. I guess in the Old Testament, there was lots of prophets. They were very common. They were identified as such. Today, very few people have a label of prophet over them. The closest you could perhaps think of would be a teaching pastor, would be a prophet. I am one who speaks for God, and I communicate God's message. That is a big part of my job. However, you don't have to be the one standing in front of a crowd of people with a Bible in your hand to be a prophet. It is those occasions when you could be sitting at Starbucks having a cup of coffee with a friend, and if you begin speaking for God, communicating God's message, you are a prophet in the ears of that other person. And so we've got to be careful not to be false prophets, and more than that, we have to be discerning to be able to determine what is a false prophet. So some characteristics of a false prophet, and we take them right out of this verse, because it says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, sheep in this context means a follower of Jesus. They will come and they will look like a follower of Jesus. They will talk like a follower of Jesus. They will lead you to believe that they have a relationship, a saving faith relationship with Jesus, and begin to have you lower your guard so that you begin to open up and have ears to listen to what they're saying. And that's the caution. Watch out. There are people like that, they look like a believer, they look like a Christian, they may talk like a Christian, they've got the language down, but they're not. And instead, inside, they're ferocious wolves. Now, what we know about wolves is wolves are a predatory animal. They're relentless, if you ever watch those shows, where they just identify their prey, and they go on and on and on and on. They'll run dozens of miles, sometimes 20 miles, to wear out their prey, to get them to stop. And then their appetite, once they kill, they do it all over again. And it's a reminder of Satan. It's a reminder of the enemy, who we are told comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he comes to kill your faith, to steal your faith, to destroy your faith. How's he going to do that? Through false messages. Now, false prophets, what they do is they will attack basic doctrine of the Christian faith. And just in my lifetime, in 30 years of following after Jesus, I've seen this plenty of times, plenty of messages work their way into the church. And by church, I mean the church at large. One of those messages is, you know, you don't need the organized church to fully love God and to grow closer to him and to be all that God wants you to be. You don't need any other people. You don't need any organization. You don't need that. And I personally know too many people, I can't even count the number of people that have bought into that and have said, I don't need this, and they just walk away. And they believe this message that our faith can be very individualistic. We don't need anybody else, whereas our Christian faith is a communal faith. It's It's impossible to obey the 56 one another's unless we're in community with one another. That's a message that's out there. There's another message that I've heard and I hear over again. A lot of times I can tune in to the right person on TV and I hear this prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel is God wants you uber rich. He wants you to have the biggest house. He wants you to have the newest car. He wants to have you in the Italian suits and the really nice handbags. And he wants your jewelry to be dripping off of your body. And he wants you to take the elitist of elite vacations. And a lot of those messages are, you can have it if you have faith. Now, you send in $100 to me, and God will multiply it 10 times over. But if you have $100 faith, you're going to get $1,000. Now, if you have $1,000 faith, imagine that. You can get $10,000. Just send it to me. And you look at how they're living, and you're going, wow, I can't believe people are duped into that. There's other messages, false messages. There is the message that marriage is to be determined by man, whereas God has clearly laid down what marriage is and what it's supposed to represent. And we hear many churches come and say, no, that's outdated. There's a new version. We hear that Jesus is not really God. He did not come in the flesh. We hear messages that all paths go to heaven and all faiths are equally valid, that they all point to the same God, which is ridiculous because even those other faiths, they would say that's not true. So it's usually somebody on the outside just trying to give something that scratches your ears. Well, that sounds really good. Or that Jesus isn't coming back. Or that the Bible really is not the Word of God. There's these false messages that are coming, and we're told to be on guard against those. In terms of the Word of God, listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17 says. For all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God, meaning you, can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the Word of God. God breathed into this. He has preserved this. He's given to us. This is an ancient book that he's given to us. And there's these messages that come, and it's just ripping the church apart. It's taking the innocent people that just say, oh, you're a Christian. Okay, well, I'll start listening. Oh, that's what you think. Okay. And we just lack this discernment because wolves are coming in. And so we have to be on guard. Now, taken to an extreme, false teaching become a cult. It can become a cult. I want to give you some characteristics of a cult. I'll give you five of them. This is not a comprehensive list. There's more than this. But usually a cult will come along through false teaching and say that they've got a new teaching. And it's a new teaching that has been revealed to them by an angel, by a messenger, by somebody special, by a visitation. And so they've got something that is unique, that is reserved only to them. And They are the ones that say they are the only ones that have it. You can't find this anywhere else. We've got it. And then they tend to be very private and very withdrawn and very isolated. And they try to just get people, let's just huddle around over this new truth that only we have. Let's isolate ourselves. And usually the leader of that is somebody that is completely unaccountable. There's no accounting for the finances. There's no accounting for that person, what the person teaches or what the person does. And then you have an individual in a situation where there is super high control, where you are told what jobs you can take and cannot take, where you can live and where you can't live, who you can date and who you can't date. We lived for a while in Aptos right next door to somebody who was active in a cult. And they went after a lot of young people, and every week they would fill up 30, 40 young people would come there and they would listen to this. And it turns out I'd gotten to know one of those people, and they had told me that they were being told where they had to live, where they would date, what job they could have, and their job, when they got paid, they handed the pay over to the guy living next door to me, and he determined how much of that paycheck they get to keep. Total cult. I mean, that can get on extreme. There may be some here that have a history, a background where you've fallen prey to that. I know there's at least one person I'm aware of in this church that was hung up in a cult when they were younger. But when you look for a church, there's some things that you should be discerning to look for, because we're told to watch out. In other words, go to a place, and if this is not the place, and if you find a place or you move or you pick a new church or whatever, go to a place that they don't have a new truth. They've got the ancient truths of the scriptures, and they're teaching the word of God. There's safety in that. Go to somebody who says it's not a private teaching. In fact, you can hear that teaching on any given church. It's why we love to give scripture and passage and references. We invite you. I mean, I'm teaching out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. You can take your own Bible. You can open up. You can read it. You can look at the context. You can say, is this is what the truth is? Is Fred accurately representing and communicating God's message? Is the pastor doing that? You want to be in a place that's not isolated, but rather that is collective. And our faith is communal. The people of Gateway, we need to be collective. But the believers, the sheep, the Christians that live in our community, we should be united with them as well. I'm excited. The last Thursday of every month, there's about a dozen churches between Scotts Valley and San Lorenzo Valley. And we invite every pastor to come together. So we meet for about an hour. And we've been doing this for over 10 years, 15 years now, a long time. We get to know each other. We get to know each other's churches. We talk about it. Sometimes people may leave this church and go to their church and go, hey, so-and-so is at your church now, right? Or they may come here from another church, and we'll find out about that. But we're connected. We're not isolated. And we don't view each other as competition. We're excited about that, what God is doing in one another's midst. And then you want to be in a place where there's accountability. Either where the pastor is accountable to the congregation, accountable to an elder board, accountable to a district supervisor, somebody. I'm grateful to have elders that I'm accountable to. I'm accountable to what I'm teaching. If there's any sense of going off track, I'm going to hear about it. I'm going to know about it. I'm accountable to a staff. And in terms of a control, I mean, it's a leader tends to like control. I know that. I've been one. I mean, I am one. And you like to have control, and I just realize the most important thing I got to do is find ways to continue to delegate and just let people run with it, you know? So anyhow, I'm just sharing God's warning here. Cults have started because people have not taken his warnings seriously. People's faith has been damaged because they haven't taken his warning seriously. So let's go back to this warning. This warning to beware of false prophets. Matthew 7, verse 15, 16. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. So let's talk about how do you recognize them. What are we to do? Well, it's to look at their fruit, to be a fruit inspector. That's our job, be a fruit inspector. In our yard, I've got, I don't know, 7-8 fruit trees, and we've got some citrus trees. And when you look at a citrus tree, you know, and if it doesn't have fruit on it, it might be a lemon tree, a lime tree, an orange tree, grapefruit, you know, mandarin, whatever it is. But I tell you what, when the fruit starts bearing, you'll know right away, oh, that's a lemon tree. Why? Because it's got lemons on it. That's how you tell. And so what does it mean to be a fruit inspector? To recognize them by their fruit. Fruit is always an outcome. Fruit is also always the byproduct of what's happening inside. And you have to look at is the teaching and those that are following that teaching, what type of people are those? Are those people that are imitating Christ? Are those people that are loving and kind and faithful and generous? What is the byproduct? What is the fruit of that ministry? What is the fruit of that teaching? What is the byproduct of that teaching? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And a lot of times you'll see people that are embracing the Word of God, because that's a verse of life, isn't it? That's a verse of abundant life. That's going to be a byproduct, a fruit of what the teaching of what Christ following him and his word will produce in somebody's life. And I'm afraid right now there's a tremendous amount of hatred in the world. There's a tremendous amount of people who are quote unquote Christians, and all they're spewing is hate. It's frustrating getting on Facebook and seeing so much of that all the time. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And the other thing is that we can do to watch out is to know God's voice or to hear God's voice. It's a connection of what we talked about last week, to hear his voice. I've been told that, and I verified this, that if you work for the federal government and your job is to identify counterfeit money, you spend an enormous amount of time studying the real thing. You don't study the counterfeits, you study the real bills. And I've been told that you can get so good at studying a bill that somebody can hand you a counterfeit, one that the average person would look at and see no difference. And one who's trained could pick it out in a just boom, that's a fake. Why? Because they know the real deal. And that's what our job is too, is to be immersed in the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to study the Word of God. If you're sitting down with Starbucks and somebody says something to you, and it's religious, it's okay to say, wait a minute, where'd you get that from? Is there a verse in the Bible that talks about that? Is there a passage that talks about that? I've been in so many occasions, you know, that where people will share something. I say, do you got a verse? Well, it's in there somewhere. Well, I'd like to know where. That'd be really helpful, you know, if I'm going to listen to it. Because if somebody says something, you can always go back and you can double check it. That's why I long for people to take the messages, whether it's this study or a Bible study, and to dig deeper and say, is that what it is? Is that what it's saying? So many things are very crystal clear. There's some things that are gray, and they're gray because God in his will has said it's okay to be gray, but they're not basic. They're not core doctrines. Jesus said this in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So your best safeguard to watch out for a false prophet is to be that sheep that hears God's voice, that is consuming God's voice, that is on a diet of God's word, that is regularly studying it and reading it and memorizing it and meditating on it for yourselves. On the other hand, in terms of a stranger, a wolf, somebody that's trying to lead you astray, John 10:5 says this, a sheep will never listen to a stranger's voice. In fact, he'll run away when he hears them because he does not recognize the stranger's voice. Strangers, you're not going to follow, or if you're a sheep, you're not going to follow that. Why? Because you're going to recognize that's not God. That's not his voice. God is not saying you don't need the corporate church. God is not saying all paths lead to heaven. God is not saying man can define marriage. God is not saying these things. That somebody else is saying them. And so we've just got a duty. We've got an obligation to guard and protect ourselves. That's what Jesus is asking of us. That's what we want to be. And I'll throw this out there right now. If you ever hear me teach something, you're going, Fred, where is that? What's going on? I'll sit down with you. I'll make time. We'll make time. We can look at this together. And if for some reason I got it wrong, I'll confess that, not only to you, but to the body. And just say, man, this is what I've been shown. That's not it. That's what we need to do. So anyhow, there's the command. Of all these commands on new life, this is the one that I'm thinking of, okay. So many of them are offensive in nature. This is defensive. But you got to have a good defense to win a game. And that's what this one is. It's just be alert. Some of you right now, you got to ask yourself, what are you tuning into? What are you entertaining thoughts in your mind? is that person that comes to the door and he knocks on your door or she knocks on your door and seem really nice, and now you're meeting with them and you're talking to them a lot and you're reading their materials. Are you there? Are you tuning in to television shows that are kind of teaching something a little bit different? And are you tuning in to places where what you're hearing, boy, it sounds really good. I like what that's saying. And is there discernment there on your part to validate, is that truth according to the Word of God? Some of you may need to cease. And what's that other word, cease and something?
Desist.
Assist?
Desist.
Desist. Some of you got to do that. God brought you here for a reason. It could be there's just, you know what, I can't go there anymore. I shouldn't watch those, shouldn't listen to that, shouldn't tune in there. I think that's what God would have us to hear today. We're going to, I guess, get a chance to hear some more of this worship. So, choir, come on back. Dave, come on back. Lead us some more. And let me just close with a word then of prayer. Father, you've given us warnings to heed. And Lord, I'm grateful for those in this room that have stayed true to your word, that have Bibles that are worn out. I've heard that a person who has a Bible that's fallen apart is a person who's usually not fallen apart. God, I pray that we would draw close to you, be able to hear your voice, and be able to detect the false voices that want to take life from us, the very life you want to give us.